in this study. Bhagavad Gita points out our ideal in life. That ideal is to realize our essential divinity. We are all intrinsically divine. And this divinity can be experienced. The fact that we are really divine is not just to be believed in. There is no such idea of belief in Vedanta. Vedanta stresses that we can experience the truth. It is belief or faith can be a good beginning. But the culmination takes place with experience. Like when you want to go to some place, say a wonderful safari in Africa, you want to see it. Then you start the journey with the belief, yes, that there is such a place. If you don't have that basic belief, you will not begin your journey. But having just the faith or seeing that place in maps, that is good as a tool to begin with. But then we have to actually proceed towards the destination. We have to book our passage. We have to take all the necessary things that would be required for the journey and the stay there. And with all that, we have to take the trouble of actual travels. Thus, we get to the place and then we experience it. And experience is such a thing that you yourself cannot deny it even if you want it. The logic can never negate experience. Suppose our Vishwanath, who, if you know Vishwanath, you know how great he is in argumentation. He can make you convince of anything, you know. So, if he tries to convince me that Swami, fire is really very cool, very cold, it is not hot at all. And I probably may not have an answer to give to him, because people with that good argumentation skills can decimate your arguments. So he may be able to, make me dumbfounded. I will not be able to reply to him. But can he convince me that fire is really cool? Fire is not cold. I have experienced so many times that my fingers got burnt. That experience will refuse. Even if I want to believe that fire is cold, my experience will not let me believe that. I know that my fingers got burnt. How can fire be cold? Fire cannot be cold. Fire heats. Fire does not cool. So, even cool arguments will not be able to convince me that fire is cold. So, it is, experience is such a proof that it can never be obliterated. It can never be overpowered by arguments. So, when we experience our divine nature, when we experience we are divine, then, well, that experience is always with us, making us know that we are free, we are perfect, we are pure. So, this actual experience is to be had. And whatever one does for that is called spiritual practice. Spiritual practice is not doing something haphazardly. It is a proper scientific way of connecting the goal with where we are. Like when you are going to, say, that safari, you see, you cannot just be going hither, thither. You have to see, you are in Providence right now, and then what plane or what vehicle connects you there, which airliner you should take. You should progress or proceed scientifically, that finding out a proper connection between where you are and your destination. So, here too, we have to see our present experience, present understanding, our present life, that needs to be correspondingly transformed into the stage which we want to arrive. Here, this Vishwanath, human being, Vishwanath, divine, a transformation. A transformation is to take place that from where we are to where we want to reach. And this is something that each of us can do. The distance may appear long, but if we walk towards it according to our pace, it need not be that everybody will be going in with the same pace. Somebody will be going very fast, somebody will be going slow. It doesn't make a difference, provided we are going in the right direction. If we are going in the right direction, then maybe we are going slow, but we will reach today or tomorrow. If we are going very fast, well, we may reach early. That's about it. But it doesn't make a difference in the destination. We all reach. We have to take up the vehicle according to our capabilities, our station in life, and all that. That determines what vehicle one gets for this. But it doesn't make a difference. This process has to be followed, and this process is called yajna, sacrifice. The word is very beautiful. The sacrifice or yajna is to give up your present state. The transformation means that your earlier state goes away and new state comes. It is like you are to fly to, say, Nairobi. Then you have to start from your home. You cannot say, I will sit at home and be there. You have to give up being sitting at home. That is sacrifice. Give up. Give up clinging to the wrong, erroneous notions. If we want knowledge, we have to give up the erroneous notions and the life that is being led according to those erroneous notions. The erroneous notions, they are not just notions. They become the basis for our life. So our life, if it is based on a certain wrong awareness, then the whole life goes in the wrong direction. If the mistake is corrected inside, then that should have a reflection in leading one's life. Our life also will then follow the right direction. If the understanding becomes right, then the action also becomes right. So, and if action is not becoming right, then that means the understanding is not right. The understanding may be superficially right. That is, the understanding may be just intellectual knowledge or information. It has not seeped in the our awareness. Our awareness has not changed. Intellectually we know, but our awareness has not been changed. If the awareness changes, the life correspondingly changes. So Lord is telling Arjuna, the disciple, who wants to practically realize this truth. And so he is telling Arjuna, look, that you have to follow this procedure. If you want to realize the divine that you really are, you have to practice this procedure. This procedure can be practiced by everyone. And as one practices this procedure, you see the progress for yourself. This, he also says, that is a universal law. This law of life is that if we are living that life according to that law, not only we realize our goal, but we also then become responsible citizens of the world. We then take proper care of our duties. We then become a blessing to our family, to our society around, if we live our life according to this principle. The life led in this manner becomes a very harmonious life. It has the connection with the real goal of life, and thus everything then that we do gets tuned to that. Then the friction or the conflicts get automatically resolved. The conflicts that we have in life are mostly because we have many things on our mind and they keep on pulling us in different directions. And therefore the life gets torn between various things. My duty to my wife or to my husband, my duty to my parents, my duty to my children, my duty to the society, my duty to myself. All these run sometimes counter to each other because all of them are not properly seen in the light of our true divine nature, which is the ultimate goal. When we see from that, then we see that all these things fall in place. Otherwise, they are all heterogeneous, conflicting factors in life. So, they will never let us have peace. It is continuously we will be at war with ourselves, with our neighbors, with our family members, with the society at large. All the time we will be resentful, criticizing this person, criticizing that person, and if nobody else is available, government is always available. We can always say, because of the government, this is happening. Government is always a good scapegoat for all ills. It is, because what it is, we don't know. What is government, we don't know. So, just keep on blaming the government and accumulate resentments. The resentment that we accumulate, that makes the life bitter. Resentment is not sweet something that makes our understanding distorted. Our life becomes bitter. We keep on thinking about that all the time. And therefore, it is important that all these different factors, they are tuned to our real ideal. In second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we saw Lord Krishna telling Arjuna, it is a very important, very beautiful verse. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. That a professional attitude is one-pointed, that yes, I have to accomplish this. There is that one-pointedness about it. You have a resolve about it, that yes, I have to accomplish this. Then other things I do not, they do not weigh on my mind. Like in various places, when at one's workplaces we are told, be professional. Like somebody is a carpenter and working on some, making some house for somebody. Now, if that carpenter is making the house, that carpenter just has the plan and sees that this is what I need to do, puts all attention on that. That doesn't pay attention to whether the owner is black or white, whether is man or woman, what is the age of the person, who are that person's relations. All those things are not paid attention to. My job is to make this house, and with that I am finished. And that is the professional, one-pointed attitude. So, in life also, this one-pointed attitude, I have to realize goal. Other things are secondary. The carpenter, while working, when the owner comes there, says, hey, hi, how are you? Hey, okay. They are just the formalities. You don't spend hours and hours over it. Do not waste your energies on that. You just say, okay, hi, and be about your business. Here also in life, our attention should be primarily, for most part, 99.9% part should be on our goal. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. This is an attitude of resolve. That other things do come and go in life. People will be coming, going, passing. Some days I will be feeling better. Some days I may not be feeling that better. Life means, you know, some days you feel your health is all right. Some day you have a toothache. Other day you have a headache. Third day you may have a stomach pain. Fourth day, just because you are not having any problem, you are feeling uneasy. So it is. Because one gets used to that, you know, that puts every day some problem has to be there. If there is no problem, that because no problem, you start feeling uneasy. So it is that those things will continue in life. You don't pay much attention to that. Be one-pointed that yes, I have to realize the goal of my life. Life is for that. When that focus comes, everything falls in place. Then, I get married to this person, I get this job, I live in this house or that house. They are all really very secondary things. They do not make much of a difference. Once our attention is on the goal, just as that carpenter's attention is on completing that job. Other things, okay, yes, maybe today he ate a donut, and the next day he may be eating pizza, that's fine, you know, they are secondary things. Whether he had one cigar or two cigars, okay, that comes, you know, and go, that he is not very particular about work. It is, everything is for work. If he is not able to concentrate, then that makes him feel guilty or uneasy, because the purpose is to complete the job. So, our attention should be like that this is the goal of life. This is the job of life. Let me pay attention to this job. It is, I have a friend. When he is at work, if I call, he is working very, said, oh, okay, I'll call you later. I am busy right now. Keeps the phone down. Because he cannot talk at that time. The whole personality, whole attention, everything is pointed to completion of the work. So, it is, the life has to be focused like that, then we see other things, not that they are not important, they have their own importance. We overvalue them. We have to see their relative importance in relation to our goal of life. How does it impact my goal of life? If I want to get married, I must see how will it impact my journey towards the goal of life. If I want to say do certain exercises, how will it affect my journey to the goal of life? If I have to take a particular job, think how my journey to the goal will be affected by that. All things get done properly tuned, and thus a person feels restful. There one gets the peace. If that is not the case, the second line of that verse says, then you do one thing today, another tomorrow, the mind keeps on digressing all the time, and it goes on digressing like that infinitely. Bahu shakha hi anantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. If you don't have a goal, then what happens? Then the mind keeps on wandering all the time from this branch to that branch infinitely. See how our thoughts go. If we observe, you know, if we observe that how idle mind's thoughts go, starts thinking about, because there is nothing to be done particularly, there is no focus, the mind will start thinking about a baseball game. Then it will not proceed much there. Immediately it will go after a few minutes to something else. Then after a few seconds it will go to something else. It is like that, all scattered everywhere, useless. That kind of a mind is an unnecessary burden on ourselves. It is not doing any service to us, rather doing lot of disservice, because there is no focus to it. There is no one particular thing that harmonizes everything. So this harmonizing influence comes by this understanding of the goal. Thus, this becomes then the most important thing to be done in life. Everything else then gets harmonized. Then you are living your life in the right way. Otherwise, this third chapter that we had been seeing, it says that if you are living life in this way, then you are making a good use of it. That is what scriptures say. It has given in the 15th verse that this is what the great teachers have told us in scriptures. And if you are doing that, then you are making good use of your life. Your life is on the right track. It will reach destination. It will be fulfilled. If not, 16th verse, evam pravartitam chakram nanuvartayati hayah aghayu indriya ramo mogham parthasajivati. He who does not follow here this cycle, he should be, include she also. It is not that women can be, do anything they want, they are beyond all laws, no. Here he, she, everybody, he who does not follow this cycle, thus set revolving, who leads a sinful life and delights in the senses in vain, O Partha, does he live? This person lives in vain. And nothing is achieved. Only coming and going, being born and dying, and doing nothing. The same gets up every day and brushes the teeth, has the coffee and runs for the work, spends a lot of time there and comes back and then sits in front of the idiot box for a little while and then it is eats something and gives hurls abuses to government and to other people around and then feels tired and then goes to sleep. Same cycle again, next day, no progress, no use of life. It is all life being misused, scattered in all directions, not useful at all. Like the our power, when concentrated, does work. The boiler, we have a boiler. So the boiler, then it can do lot of work if the steam is held in check. And that it is, if it is concentrated, then you have it do so many things for you. If the boilers have holes, then all that is scattered away. This, it is all useless wastage. There is no use of that. So if our life, if our thought gets wasted like that, thought is the primary energy that we have, and if it is getting wasted in all directions, it is all useless. See, those of you who have seen this letter mill here in Providence, very good sight to see. See how a great use of energy is made. Water is flowing. The mind thinks, how can I make use of this energy to run a mill? So a dam is built there, and an artificial fall is created. That is, the place is therefore called Central Falls, is it not? Central Falls. So there is a falls is created there. That energy generated is used then to turn a big, you see a big huge wooden wheel there. That wheel is turned by that power. And then all the different instruments in that mill, they are connected to that wheel. All of them, they derive power from that turning wheel. So that is how the power is used. If there is no dam, the water just runs, the energy gets spittered away. It doesn't come to any useful function. So, our life, if our thought is just getting scattered away in all different directions, then it is not useful. So, Lord says, if you are not following this particular cycle, the right cycle, then you are wasting your energies. If your life is not tuned to the goal, then you are wasting it. And that is really, to make those things psychologically appeal, he uses strong words. That person's whole life is a sin. In what sense, friends? The word sin sometimes is used in our common understanding that if somebody is a cheat, a rapist, or a murderer, or some such sinful person. I mean, yes, that person is sinful, but how that happens in life? See, that person didn't become like that suddenly. The seed is there. That seed is, it sprouts. It becomes big. And then you see the fruit that, hey, here is the murderer. Well, how there that murder took place? At the root cause is this attitude that I am so and so. I want this world for my enjoyment. And if you don't get it, then the anger wells up. Then you start plotting. And all the other considerations are then thrown aside. See, this is the life which has no directions and which do not have the proper controls. So, as the psychologist can tell you that how a person who looks otherwise very nice, very good, can suddenly commit such crimes. It is not sudden. There is that seed. You are not seeing that it is growing inside. It is covered. But then suddenly the fruit comes. So you see the manifestation of sin there. But if you are not leading, a person who is not leading the life in the right direction is wasting life, and that is really the sin. All sins really are, if we see where they are caused in this. Those sins, this life is then becoming sinful. It is a life, satanic life really. The life that is not being led according to these proper directions. So, this is said here that mogham, it is useless, in vain that life is being led. Nobody wants to lead life in vain. We want, as human beings, as thinking beings, to have a purposeful life. We all value our life, that yes, it should not be lived in vain. I want to make best use of my life. And so we need to first understand, feel that what is goal of my life, and tune all my actions to that one goal. And thus, what will happen now? Then everything that we are doing, being tuned to that goal, becomes a useful something. It is, if we are just eating, not doing anything, then that eating is not useful. But if you are conscientiously going towards a destination, conscientiously you are journeying, and for continuation of your journey, you are taking your food, then that taking food becomes a useful activity. Otherwise, it is a useless activity. If on your journey, you require something, taking that with you, because it is connected with the journey, it becomes useful. Otherwise, it is useless. So, it is said, therefore, that you go to this goal through this. And another very important thing, it is I see this in Vedanta, that the idea of progress is so beautifully, so logically explained. We use the word progress very often without understanding the real meaning behind this word. We say that we want to progress, but the word progress presupposes a goal. Otherwise, the word progress has no meaning. The progress means the progress has to stop somewhere. There has to be the goal, a destination. Like the destination, journey stops there. You have arrived there. And now you have reached. The journey is over. So the idea of progress is not a continuous progress. Swami Vivekananda, in this that book, beautiful book, Jnana Yoga, explains this, that in many philosophers, especially in the West, think of this continuous progress. Darwin's theory of evolution, he says that this is a prominent drawback in that theory, that it does not show what is the culmination of this evolution, where does it end. If we are using the word evolution or progress, we must show that here it ends. Otherwise, how do you know it is whether it is progress or regress? You are seeing the change. Yes, it is change. But to call a change progress, there has to be the criterion. How do you call a change a progress? If it is taking you towards your final destination, it is progress. If it is taking you away from it, it is regress. If you have no destination, then everything is progress and everything is regress. It is, all roads are right when you don't have a destination. All paths are correct. It is, no particular path is necessary then. But when you know that this is my destination, now there is some meaning to the word progress. Otherwise, there is no meaning to this word progress. There is nothing like continuous, ever-going evolution or ever-continuing progress. This idea in itself is meaningless, contradictory. It doesn't make sense. What is progress? Progress culminates into achieving the goal. So, Lord Krishna, in the next verse, that is 17th verse, points out that ultimate goal, that here this process of yajna or sacrifice culminates. Then the person is established in wisdom. Then the person has realized his or her true nature and become perfected. And being perfected means what? Let me read the verse and then we can discuss about that. Yastu atmaritirevasyad atmatriptascha manavah Atmani eva cha santushtah tasya karyam na vidyate. But that person who delights only in the self, is satisfied with the self, this S here is a capital S. That is not the small tiny ego, but the self here means the self of all, the God that pervades everything. So that is what is indicated by this word self. The person who delights only in the self, is satisfied with the self, is connected in the self alone, has no duties to perform, tasya karyam na vidyate. Those who are on the journey, they have a duty to walk. The one who has reached the destination, now need not walk. Stop, brother, now you have reached the destination. There is no going beyond, no going further. The idea of beyond is ended there completely because of the oneness. There is no here or there. The idea of going has vanished because everything has become one there. Now where can you go? Arunim can go from one place to another. If where he is going, he is not already there, then only he can go. If he is already there, then there is no going. He is now in Providence and not in Cumberland. So, we say that he will then later go to Cumberland. But if he is already in Cumberland, then he doesn't go to Cumberland. He is in Cumberland. So, when one realizes, one experiences that I am everywhere, is there any going now? There is no going, no coming. That is that all-pervasive nature of the self, it is realized. And the perfection is realized. It is said, Atmarati. Now, we are not Atmarati, we are Pararati. Rati means seeking enjoyment. We seek enjoyment from something different from us. like a baby tries to get enjoyment from a Barbie. I want a doll. Clutches the doll. My enjoyment from that. We grow older and try to get bigger Barbies. That's all. It is for the sake of enjoyment. I want this, I want that, and it is never ending. So our joys then depend on something else, and therefore we don't get it. Matter of fact is that because it is dependent on something else, we become slaves. Oh dear girl, give me some pleasure. Oh dear boy, give me some pleasure. Oh dear money, give me some pleasure. Oh dear house, give me some pleasure. This is how one becomes slaves to those things, and thus one does not get happiness. A slave gets only what? That carrot and stick game. You know, there is, that is what the slaves are. We become slaves, always trying to, you know, tickle others, please others, and trying to get some that, well, if that girl is pleased with me, she will throw a piece of pleasure to me, and keep on looking at that. If this boy is pleased with me, then some pleasure will be gotten by me. Keep on looking for that. That is a slavish mentality. And no one ever will get happiness from such things. And again, it is being sought from where it is already not. You know, if you seek happiness from where it is, you will get it. Now, a girl is seeking happiness from a boy, the boy is seeking happiness from the girl. Now, both are seeking, nobody has it, so who is going to give? Both beggars. How can they give anybody? They cannot give. So nobody gets it. What happens is nobody gets because of that. Then you may start thinking after they think that, well, this boy was wrong or this girl is wrong. That is not fault of this boy or that girl. What is the problem is we are seeking something where it is not. And that is why we are getting frustrated. We are getting rejected, denied, kicked, because we are trying to get something where it is basically not. So, Atmarati, this person has become bliss. There is no seeking of bliss anymore. The bliss is obtained by this person by its very being. That person is bliss, doesn't need to seek anymore. Do you need to seek yourself? It is not necessary. I am, you know. It is. And that awareness never goes. And when that awareness is such that I am bliss. That is why in Sanskrit the name for God is Satchidananda. Sat Chit Ananda. Bliss. Ananda is bliss. It is existence, Sat. We are always afraid here, my existence will go away, I will die tomorrow, I try to cling to that, let me survive, let me not die. Well, is it possible? You cannot, you are going to die. That dying you are calling as living. It is the journey that you are talking about, living. Living, if living is clinging to body, then it is, as Kathopanishad says beautifully, you are going from death to death. It is, you are not really seeking life at all. The life eternal is in our real self, which never is born and therefore will never die. That is existence itself. Other things come into existence and go out. Their existence is a reflection of existence. That is not real existence. But the self is always existent. It is existence itself. So, therefore this person is Atmarati. His joy is in self. Atmatripta. Atmatripta means satisfied in oneself. There is no need, no desires. Desire means imperfection. And we are so dependent on desires that it takes a lot of efforts to understand that desire is a sure sign of imperfection. Desire means what? Mike has something, then he has no desire for it. Desire means you don't have something and you want that. That is imperfection. So desire necessarily means imperfection. This person, because of the perfection, has absolutely no desire. And therefore peace. It is the desire which destroys the peace. As soon as I have even the slightest desire, most ordinary desire, let me drink a cup of tea. I am otherwise sitting nicely, peaceful. Let me have a cup of tea. I have to get up. The rest is gone. That put the water on boil and all that stuff. So, even the smallest desire makes us restless. This person is at peace because there is absolutely no desire in life. And no lack of joy. Desire doesn't mean that it gives us happiness. We have a foolish idea that if there is no desire, how can I get happiness? Triveni feels that if I have the desire to eat that dhokra, she makes those nice dhokras. So if I get that dhokra, then I feel happy. I get the desire, let me eat dhokra. Then when I eat dhokra, then I feel happy. If I don't have a desire, then I don't get dhokra. Because I don't get the desire for dhokra, then I don't get dhokra and I miss that happiness. So the life will be all a big bore, is it not? If I don't have any desire, that is not so, friends. The life is full of bliss. That desire for dhokra was not bringing any new happiness. When you get dhokra, it was just removing that tension that was created. Before that desire, you were okay. That desire created a tension, a restlessness. And when she got that dhokra, she came back to the same state where she was before getting that desire. No new happiness got added to it. So, desires don't bring happiness. Desire only titillate and make us restless. It is therefore this person, as a sign of perfection, tripta, fully, completely satisfied. And satisfied in the self. Atmani eva cha santushtah. Now tell me, what duty has that person got to perform? There is no bondage. Duty is a bondage. You must do it. That is called duty. Whether you like or not, whether you want or not, you have to do it. That is called duty. You may be wanting to sleep a little more, but you have to go to work. If you don't report there at 7 o'clock, then it is difficult. You know that you have to get there at 7. So you get up. Although you don't want, you get up from your bed, you start running about. Now, that is duty, a compulsion. You have to do it. This person now has no bondage, no compulsion. that person has achieved the goal of life, a total life of peace, and yet is living the whole life, then is the blessing to the universe. That life is what is the goal. The goal is that perfection. And one can achieve that perfection in this very life. It is not that after your death you are promised some heaven. That kind of religion is not what Vedanta preaches. Here itself, ihaiva, you will hear that word in Bhagavad Gita again and again. Here itself, no postmortem heaven promised. It is here itself, transform your life and you realize, experience your intrinsic divinity, become perfect. As Jesus said, be thou perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. That perfection one can achieve in this life. And not that after you die somebody will judge you and put you in some heaven. If you have done good, then you are in this heaven. If you have done better, there are gradations in this heaven. And hell also. This hell is bad, that hell is worse. There you will be fried in this oil. And next to hell you will be fried in some other oil. All those ideas, they are good for children and good for babies as some funny stories. But they are not to be seen as the real true religion. Religion is for realizing the goal. To understand the goal and to realize in life. That is the purpose of religion. So this is what we Bhagavad Gita is teaching us, taking us step by step. It does not condemn anybody. It does not slight anybody. Our weaknesses are fully understood by Bhagavad Gita. The teachers understand the weaknesses, shortcomings of the students and take them by hand. They accept us as we are, but they don't keep us as we are. We are transformed and taken gradually to the holy goal of one's life. So we shall continue to see this verse has another next verse also elucidates this very idea of perfection and culmination of life in that state. So we will try to see that next Friday. Any questions? Yes, Rana?
Can a society or nation truly progress towards the common goal, or is progress on the individual?
Well, that is a question that is quite often asked. A society or a nation is an abstraction. A society and a nation contains so many different people at different states of life. Some are on the first step, some are on the last step. So, those who are on the last step, they go out, and for them the purpose of this world is finished. Those who are on the first step, the world is necessary for them to get discipline. They have to go to the next step. And like that the world continues. World as such has again no idea of progress. There is no progress of the world. That is a myth. There is no question. There is no definition of this world. Progress of the world. You try to figure out. Therefore there are so many contradictory ideas of the progress of the world. The Marxists will think this is the progress of the world. A capitalist will completely just trash that idea, will say, no, this is progress of the world. A person with the idea that let there be health care for everyone, progress of the world. But the other people will say, well, this is not really the progress of the world. There is the progress of the world is so very every person has one idea of the progress or the betterment of the world. The world is neither going to be better nor worse. The world remains a tool for our progress. You develop there and become perfect. That is the job of the country or the world or the society. Society pretty much remains the same. Externally there are changes. Like earlier people used to live in thatched houses. Now they live in huge buildings made of concrete and all that. But the inner structure of the society remains the same. The individual is helped. 100 people come together and form a society. Why? All 100 people get helped by that. Now these 100 people go. The society remains for another 100 people to get help from. So the society has no other purpose but to help you out. It is like a pipe. Society is like a pipe. You get water. Water flows. Pipe does not flow. If pipe also starts flowing, it will be a difficult situation. The water through the pipe flows. So individuals flow through that society and come out and become perfected. That is the meaning of society. Society itself has no ideal apart from this. Yes, Chet?
So you say the person who has no desires, right? And then you use the example of going to sleep for just being there peaceful, right? So in dreamless sleep, which is, I think, common to most individuals, at that time we have no desires, or no conscious. So why do we wake up from
that? Good. That is a very nice question. It is, therefore, that state is sometimes shown as an analogy, not the actual, it is not the goal, but it is shown that when you have no desire, then you are calm, you are not running about, you are having the maximum happiness of this relative world when you are in deep sleep. So, but why you wake up there? There the desire is not gone. It is just kept in abeyance. For some time it is kept in abeyance. It is like a machine has been working for too long a time, then it needs rest. So you connect, disconnect power to that machine for a while, let it cool, and after it is cooled, then you again connect to it. Its capacities and all, though they are there, only the connection was snapped for a little while to give it some rest. So our body and mind continuously functioning all the time, so to give it some rest is required, so the connection is snapped. Okay, for now some time let it have rest, let it reorganize, let it recuperate, and start functioning again. Then when that recuperation is done, then it starts functioning again, same desires start functioning. That is the difference between what is called samadhi and sleep. When a person attains samadhi, then from the samadhi, if that person comes into the regular state of living, then it is a complete transformation. The old man has died there. It is a complete new person. But when you wake up from the sleep, the same person with the same worries, with the same lifestyle, comes out again. Because it is held only in abeyance. For some time, it is the desires are kept in check. They enter again and start working.